Hey everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeable.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, guys, and welcome to the final XY playthrough episode. We hope that you've enjoyed this whole entire series, but all good things must come to an end. With myself, I have Ariel and Devin. How are you doing this morning, Ariel?
Pretty tired. I woke up kind of late, so yeah. I'm not exactly at my peak condition right now, so...
We're always at peak condition for PokeChat. And Devin, how are you doing?
Fantastic. I'm wide awake, ready for all this.
Yeah, you've been up since 6 a.m. for this, so you're super ready. California time, we should say.
Yep.
All right. So let's start for episode 43 of PokeChat with our Looker Saga, because that's how we're going to end our XY playthrough. I thought it was really symbolic because it's a really touching story, and it works for all of PokeChat. All right, so starting off, in Lumiose City, when you just fly or walk around there, you receive a mysterious holocaster call telling you to go to the Looker Burrow, and is it Burrow? Yeah, in Rogue Plaza, and all of a sudden, Chapter 1, that man's a real Looker shows up on your screen. Kind of cheesy, I know. So, what were you thinking already, Devin? Because I know you don't know who Looker is. What was this business to you?
I had no idea, to be honest. I heard the name because I think someone talked about it before, but other than that, I was like, okay, I guess there's some kind of thing I gotta do now, so I taxied to the Looker Burrow because I didn't want to find it at Nightmare City.
Well, did you just happen to like go to Lumiose City, or did you
know
what was going?
No, originally, so I'm like, okay, I finished the game, and so I went to Google, and I was like, quests after I finished the game, just to see, and they were like, the legendary stuff, and then the Looker, and I was like, okay, I started with Looker, and I was like, okay, this might be fun, and then I was wrong.
I get you. Well, that's still kind of fun that you decided to go through with all this, because I'm happy that you didn't, you know, just skip over all that like, endgame stuff, because there's a lot of stuff that's going on with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, good on you, Devin. All right, so as you go on, you can go to the Looker Burrow, just like Devin was talking about, and you will meet Looker from Gen 5 that tells you he's been investigating you, and he asks you to be his right-hand man in stopping crime in this very expansive Lumiose City. So apparently, winning as champion and being the hero Kalos had a lot of good repercussions. He tells you that you need to take his class called the Looker Method. Yes, even you can become a detective in 5 easy steps. You're sent on a hunt quest to find 5 Looker tickets scattered throughout the Lumiose City. His notebook has hints of where to find each, and they went as follows. In the Pokemon Center next to Magenta Plaza. In Centrico Plaza, in the tower illuminating the city. So, yeah, obviously it's pretty easy to find. On Vernal Avenue, at a shop selling medicines. On Northern Boulevard, first floor, in a place where people rest. A hotel. On Northern Boulevard, one floor, in a place filled with art, the museum. I didn't have too much trouble with this because the first episode was basically just like hop in a taxi and go to the place that they want you to go to. You know, didn't you guys feel the same?
Yeah, it was basically the same.
Yeah, essentially. I had trouble with like the last one, but I thought it would have been half an hour, so.
Nice. So, yeah, I was just, I was fine to just go through the first episode, not even sweat it, honestly. I was just like, oh, right, I know exactly where these places are. Well, see, the thing is, though, I wrote them down before I knew they were going to be in his journal, and I was really angry because I was like, you know, I spent a lot of time writing those down just for you to, like, write them down anyways. You could have told me you were doing that, like, save me the effort.
And then you could also call him and he'd tell you it all over again if you needed to know, too.
Exactly, yeah, so that's why I was just like, this is silly. And I should note that I was playing this on an airplane, so it was not easy to write this all down. I was on the little desk tray thing, like typing on my computer as I was trying to like get all the notes that he was doing, while my DS was in one hand, so I was like, It was just really, it was so frustrating. And I had the most annoying grandma next to me who wouldn't stop looking over and seeing what I was doing. She really wanted to know what I was doing, really bad. And I was like, I was playing Pokemon, get out of my business!
Yeah.
But hey, a good thing is I was able to play a lot of Pokemon on the plane because there's a new rule that you can put on electronics for takeoff and on landing now. It's gorgeous. So I got to play it, like, literally the whole entire flight back from New York to California for Thanksgiving. It was awesome. I love it. And I hated that we couldn't do that. It was 5 hours to Las Vegas and then an hour back from there.
Okay.
So I got a. That's where I beat all of Looker, you know? Like, I beat all of Looker before I was even off the plane. So it took me a pretty long time. But it usually takes me a long time because I take notes. I don't know. Did it take you guys as long as I did, Ariel?
No.
How long did it take you?
Well, I was at it for a while, but it's like, yeah, and I took my time, but I can't tell you an actual time, seeing it was a long time ago when I did this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Devin, how about you? How long did this take you? I know you scrolled through text.
It was fairly quick because I skipped through everything.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
So it went by pretty quick because I wasn't reading anything. I was just pressing the A button. That's just because I got kind of bored.
Well, I'm sorry that you got bored because we deeply enjoyed this. Okay, let's get into the meat of the story, Ariel, because there's even more that comes up.
Yeah.
All right.
This part is the boring part, so.
Yeah, but chapter 2 gets really interesting. And from there on, I'd only say it gets more and more interesting each episode. Mm-hmm. All right, so Chapter 2 shows up on your screen when you get the next Holocaust call, and it is of In the Back Alleyways. It has you searching for children because the concerned parents of those children want their bundles of joy to be able to get into ACE trainer schools as opposed to hanging out in the back alleyways. Looker tells you to look at the alley leading off of South Boulevard, and if you go up to that, you'll find all the kids lined up in a Golden Nugget Bridge a la Cerulean City in Gen 1 and Gen 3 remakes of Gen 1. The kids are all lined up and have you battle them, and once you go through, you will find yourself talking to a mysterious young lady. Looker joins up with you, and he meets up and talks to the person who is an orphan, they reveal, and they have a friend named Esper, not a Pokemon or anything else. Like they didn't capture it. Esper just kind of hangs out with her, so this girl looks kind of grungy, so you get the impression, you know, she's been living in the alleyway for a long time. Looker offers her a job and a place to live, but this little Esper named Mimi runs off, forcing you to check all of the alleyways to befriend her. A bit obnoxious. So if you leave the alleyway where Looker and this mysterious lady are, Looker will call you and tell you to check the alley near the Galette stand, the Illumio station, and the Cafe Triste. And finally, if you find Mimi by wandering into the correct alleyway, congratulations, first off. Second off, you have to dance only, because you can't pet this thing, because it doesn't want to be pet really bad. And eventually, you will learn that the lady's name was Emma this whole time. She becomes a detective, because Mimi seems to like both Looker and yourself. And there you go. Emma is introduced to the story, and she's the most important character in this whole entire business, because she's the most active character. She just does a lot, you know? So, Ariel, what was your first impression of Emma when you first saw her in the alleyway and she was giving up her name and all that business?
Well, I thought that you could do other actions besides dance because you just couldn't do any actions where it involved touching Mimi. And I did all three different ones that were applicable that didn't involve touching because, like, you gotta do one of each kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. I think I did two different ones, and it worked. I only needed two for some reason. I don't know. Devin, how did you get through this part? Because you didn't read the text.
No, the beginning part I actually was reading things, so I understood who she was. That she was some kid that had been living on the streets and whatnot, and and then having to go find her or find little Esper. Just I hate Lumio so much, so I hate going around that town.
But it's all about
that's probably a big. Yeah, that's what I did. It's just that's a big reason why I might not have liked this whole thing, just because I hate Lumio so much.
Yes, I do too. I think we all do. I think that there's not a single person in this podcast that has said, I love Lumio City. I love wandering around in that horrible camera. It's my favorite thing.
Oh my god.
It gets better the more you do it, though. So it's like, I'm not nearly as lost as I used to be, but I still don't know which street is which. It's like, okay,
no.
If you asked me what's on Hibernal Avenue, I would say, I don't know.
I don't know any of those.
The only good part is trying to hatch an egg in that place. That's the only good part about Lumios.
I love that trick where you can put a coin underneath your little joystick nub, and if you put it underneath that, you'll spin around the prism tower. If you make it go right or left, and you'll just go around and around and around. And it's just all the work for you.
So awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's how I've got my new team ready, because I'm about to do a playthrough all over again without EXP all with level 1 pokes, so that'll be fun.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and then you can battle me again afterwards, and we'll see what happens.
Yes, I can. Hey guys, let's talk about those battles that we did. So Devin, I battled you first because I was trading off the Articuno that I had, because you really wanted Legendary Bird, and everyone knows there about the Legendaries.
Aww.
So I spent 10 tries trying to get that thing, actually, not just 7 like everyone else was reporting. I had encountered this stupid running bird 10 times for him, and then I caught it super easily with Duskclaws.
It is 10 times. It's 10 times for everybody. It was 10 times for me.
I swear it was like 7 for me. Because
I read it said 7. An online guide that I read said 7, but Ariel, you're saying everyone knows 10. So I think I'm going to trust Ariel because you're Arceus.
No, originally, you were like, I'm not going to catch this Articuno, it's a pain. I was like, no, please. I've got nobody else. I know that someone on the fan site, fan group, gave me an Articuno, but I knew you were giving me yours, so I was like, okay, I'm going to get a Zapdos out of this, because no one chose Fennekin. It's like, okay, I got to get a Zapdos somehow.
Hello, hi, I chose Fennekin.
You're not going to give me your Zapdos. So.
No, I'm not, but yes.
So I had to find one, and then you were my only option for Articuno, because my girlfriend's nowhere near finishing the game, so I'm like, I gotta get Articuno.
Why don't you just trade, like...
I don't have Articuno and Moltres.
Well, Devin, why don't you just trade, like, my Eevee-Tal or something that I gave you?
This was before you did that. This is...
Oh.
Yeah, see? Or else I would have done that, too, but I had to make...
Oh, and you're, like, giving away legendaries.
Yep.
Oh, I'm giving away legendaries left and right. I gave him away all my legendaries, every single one, and I gave him away all my starters and everything. Like my Torchic, and I gave him away all my like Mega Stones because I'm resetting the game. What do I need those for? I didn't use them the
first
playthrough.
Moonstone. No, I just need one more. Yeah,
totally. So what are you using those Moonstones for?
Well, there's 4 of them, and I have 3 for Nidoqueen, Nidoking, Wigglytuff, and Clefable.
Ooh, wow!
In Soul Silver, I built up a Nidoking that I really enjoyed, so I want to do it again here.
Why are you doing Nidoking and Nidoqueen? That's a little bit redundant.
Because I can.
When I say a little bit, I mean extremely redundant. I mean,
you're the one
who's different, but the same typing. That's going to ruin your team.
No, is it? Are they both Poison Ground?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Fungal.
Well, what's that? Is that the Route 1 music or something?
That's the remix of the Pokemon Yellow, the title screen.
Oh, there we go. So, okay.
Pokemon Yellow? You mean every Pokemon game ever? They all use that same theme as the title screen.
Yeah, but that was the version he had, I guess. And, okay, so then, Devin, we did do battles after we traded all that business. I gave you all my legendaries I didn't want. So then you and I battled, and I can't remember who won anymore because my brain's overshadowed with the battles I had with Ariel. So do you remember anymore? Okay, you won.
The first one came down to the
Pavilion, my awesome Pavilion. And then
I barely won because you didn't knock me out at the last second, right?
Yes, and you were like paralyzed, round. And I used Parting Shot with my Pangoro on you, so like your Pokemon was struggling, and all of a sudden it took me out because I had like some random speed win. I don't know how I won that speed.
The second round, you only knocked out my Lucario, and that was it. Because I forgot that Fairy is weak to. I mean, Fairy is strong against Fighting. For some reason, I thought it was the other way around.
No, it's not.
All right, so that reminds me more of Ariel's battles because so Ariel was online as I was trading Devin and then battling him. So I went and battled her. And she was like, are you sure you want to battle me? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, I have a really well-trained team. They're like, I beat up and everything. And I was like, you know what? Let's go for it. So I battled Ariel. And I guess you guys all know how that's going to end. I got the floor cleaned with me. I just didn't even have a single way I could have won that battle at all. So it was fun. We did it twice. And I was able to hold out against most of her Pokemon except for her Talonflame. Talonflame's typings match up against so many of mine, against my Chestnut, Pavilion, Lapras, and one more, I'm sure, I'm not thinking of. But
Your team has a major weakness to flying, so yeah.
Yeah, it really does. I didn't really factor that in when I was making my team, because I didn't think there were going to be too many flying types in this game. And they're only in the sky battle, so I was fine the whole game through. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. And, of course, I was over-leveled, so I never really had to worry about anything ever. Yeah. Yeah, so, Aria, tell us more about your Ferrothorn and why that thing's such a pika.
Well, it has egg moves, so it's got Stealth Rock, it's got Leech Seed, and then I taught it Power Whip and Thunder Wave, so that thing is just essentially a lead Pokemon, and it essentially shuts you down and sets up and gets ready to kick your butt from here to Timbuktu.
Yeah, and it's such a tank that it can never be killed. Whenever I'd set out my Pangoro, or not my Pangoro, my Pyroar trying to take that thing out with its 4-time weakness to fire, you would just switch it out for something that would just annihilate my Pyroar, which is sad, like the Goodra, I think, because it's resistant to fire, so.
Yeah.
Wasn't it fun? Like Pangoro was like super weak. I don't know, in general, just it would seem so easy to kill.
Pangoro is probably because you're always using Fairy-type moves. Fairy-type moves are 4 times effective against Dark
what else is
fighting.
Effective against Dark?
Bug. That's it.
What did I use to... Oh, it's because I used Flying with to counter for the Fighting-type. Yeah, never mind.
Gotcha. All right, so... Yeah, that was fun. I'm glad I got to battle you guys, and Ariel finally revealed what my friend Safari was, which was a Water-type Safari, and tell us what the Pokemon were in that Safari, Ariel.
Honestly, I don't remember two of them, but I do remember that the third Pokemon, the hidden one, is Azumarill.
And your other two was Quagsire and whatever Bidoof evolved into.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
horrible.
You have the derpiest Pokemon. Like, I hear you making fun of my normal typing, and I, like, look to yours like, wow, you have derpy Pokemon. Don't even start with me.
I do have pretty derpy Pokemon, I have to admit, quite frankly, in my friend Safari. So I shouldn't be making fun of so much of your normal type, because those weren't too bad, things compared to
mine. Yeah, I have some pretty derpy Pokemon in my friend Safari, too.
I don't even know who I have in mine, though. I don't think anyone's ever told me.
I told you, it was Dunsparce, and... isn't it Dunkfish? No, Ariel, I think you're ground types. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm ground types.
It's listed in the it's listed whose type is in the episode Google Doc 442, if you guys care to look at that. Okay, so let's move on back to the Looker stuff. That was fun to talk about our online players. I enjoy doing that so much.
And TCG.
Devin and I did Pokemon TCG, and we played for about an hour using theme decks, and we learned that Farfetch'd is the biggest troll in TCG because it is able to use a 30-powered move with colorless energy, and it has 70 health. I know it doesn't evolve, but really that's a little bit too much. So that thing took out every single thing I ever could lay out on it, so that sucked. And let's go back to Looker, guys. So Chapter 3 is titled Detective Tourist Gang, and it starts as Looker detects stress within Emma. So a tourist speaking Japanese barges in. I think it was Japanese from those characters, right, Ariel?
It is Japanese. It's Japanese.
Yeah. And she demands to be served tea, apparently. While Looker goes to do that, Emma barges in also and speaks Japanese with this woman, because apparently Emma knows Japanese. All right. I wonder what this text was displayed as in the Japanese version of this game. It's easy enough
probably
to see.
Probably English.
It's probably English, but it's easy enough to see, because remember, we can change what our language is in the Pokemon games now, which is kind of cool.
You can't choose Japanese, though. Not in the American version.
Oh, shut up. You can't?
Nope. Not Japanese, not Korean.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe because they were thinking, I don't think these people are going to know Japanese or Korean. And it's like,
really? I think that Americans would know Japanese by this point. Playing this game, like, there's a majority of people who understand a lot of Japanese. You know what I mean?
Well, yes and no, but it's like, in Japan, they literally have classes for English, so it's like, they really do know English. So maybe it wasn't Japanese, or it wasn't English in the Japanese version. Maybe it was something like German. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe, well, it seems like Japanese, to the Japanese, English is like Spanish is to us. you know, how we learn that in class, and there's a lot of Spanish-speaking people in America. I'm sure that's the same thing in Japan. That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so Mimi allows you to hear the woman's thoughts because Mimi, like, goes into your brain and unlocks something that lets you, like, psychically hear everything, which reveal that the woman speaking Japanese, her precious Pokemon, were stolen at the train station. Booker arrives back while Emma says that the thief is part of the Lumiose gang. A little bit suspicious that she would know about that, huh? Booker goes after the Lumiose gang without any Pokemon, and it's revealed that his died on a mission. I don't remember his team, but it's still kind of sad. Do you guys remember his team from Gen 5? Or Ariel, do you remember his team?
Never played Platinum.
Oh, okay. And then Emma's just worried about the Pokemon that he doesn't have because he's about to go get beaten up by gang members without any Pokemon who are apparently going to maul him to death with dark types that they'll inevitably have. Looker's journal reveals that Looker is teaching Emma how to read, write, and do math, and that he's slowly bonding with Mimi also, which is tough because Mimi's really selective on who it talks to. At the train station, the gang says, if you lose, you have nothing more to do with Emma. Another suspicious, smelly thing that's going to lead you down the same path as Lysandra. Looker will heal you whenever you talk to him in the middle of the battles between each person, which is really convenient. I'd like to know where these people, well, how these people are healing me. Like, I must have a lot of ethers if they're healing my PP every time. It's pretty insane.
Yeah, no kidding.
Seriously. And after the battles, Emma shows up and reveals that she was the unwanted boss of the Lumiose City gang. She just basically, like, stood up against them one day, and they were like, you're our gang leader. And she's like, no, I'm not. And they're like, yes, you are. And they followed her around every day, like, saying, yes, leader, what do you want, leader? She was like, leave me alone. So, I mean, if you consider that a leader, I don't know, maybe not. After that, you get back the stolen Pokemon balls. You give them back to the Japanese-speaking lady. And Booker invites all the gang members to come see Emma, but only if they'll play nice. So that's a little bit too Barney for me. I'm going to skip over that note. There's an emotional heart-to-heart where Booker and Emma talk about how she'll be able to stay there with business going so poorly because Booker didn't take the money of that woman speaking Japanese. And Emma only has to learn as opposed to working there to earn her keep, apparently. Now that she can read, Emma goes to get a part-time job. So that last hunk had a lot of stuff poured into it for, like, setup. So let's start back with Devin. Did you foresee Emma, or even read that part, that Emma was the gang leader, and were you shocked?
Not too shocked. I kind of felt like something would happen like that. I think this right around here was when I was just like, nope, don't care anymore. But yeah, it was one of those, like, this girl just seems kind of random to not play too much of a story in this, so you kind of assume that she's a leader of something. That she was behind something, at least.
Yeah.
Sorry, you saw something going on? You saw something going on, too?
Well, I really didn't, when it was like, oh, she's the leader, I'm like, why am I not surprised?
Yeah,
it's Pokemon after all. I mean, you know it's what's going to happen.
Yeah, always. The story is not built for the real able-minded, I suppose. All right, so yeah, then also there's financial troubles, which is a pretty adult-like theme, and one of the first adult themes that we're going to see with this Looker Emma saga. So, maybe arguably first. So, Devin, did you appreciate that change to an adult kind of swagger where the game just is like, hey, yeah, we're going to talk about financial troubles because those exist in the Pokemon world and we don't just all sit around and battle each other all day.
No, yeah, I like the more adult things. Even some kids might even understand that too because, I mean, financial troubles are everywhere. So it's nice to see them kind of branching out and being a little more adult-like, especially since I think Nintendo's finally understanding that a lot of the people that played the original games are now 25, 24, they know, they know what financial troubles are, or financial anything.
Yeah, definitely, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yep, it related a lot to what a lot of people can relate to, and that's why I appreciated it, too.
Yeah, I mean, there's even more, like, the death thing, like, death is a little more prevalent,
Yeah, she's like Batman, because her parents died, right? Or she didn't have any parents ever. They just, I don't think they said how they died, or if they're dead. Maybe they're just like, she's always been on the streets. She was raised by Esper. I don't know.
Raised by the wolves. There's homeless kids in this game. Like, It's way more adult themed. There's homeless people in general. When was the last time we saw homeless people?
Not in Pokemon.
Same with like the hikers. Like they're like, yep, we just kind of walk around the world. It's like, so you're homeless, okay? And they're not gonna put homeless Brad wants to fight. It's gonna be hiker Brad.
Yeah. And I'm not gonna make a generalization about the country of France and or Paris, but I do will note that when I was in Paris, I did know a lot of not homeless people, but gypsies. So maybe this is an allusion to that because there's a large gypsy culture in Paris. I know that for a fact. Especially around the Eiffel Tower, there were like just people all around trying to swindle you, make you buy things that you really didn't need. They were fun little trinkets, but they were like, I don't know. You wouldn't trust buying them because you wouldn't know if they're gonna steal your wallet after they see where you have it when you buy it or something. You know, it was just kind of weird stuff going around the Eiffel Tower, I'll say.
There was a lot of, like, little vending places in this game in general, like, by the little boat place. There's, like, a place where you could buy incense and stuff, just all the little random shops, which is kind of neat to see.
Yeah, Ariara, did you ever go to France before, and did you find this representation of France somewhat realistic?
I have never been to Europe. I am going this February, but not to France. I am going to England.
Oh, well, you'll be close enough that you'll hear of the culture. You won't be in it.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Sweet. Awesome. Well, enjoy your time in Europe. What are you going there for?
I have a friend who lives in England, and I'm visiting him. He came here for New York Comic Con, so I'm returning the favor. And seeing as I'm graduating, like, this week.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Seeing as that's happening, my mom kind of owes me a graduation present, so she's like, let's send you to England.
Aw, enjoy. Congratulations on graduating. We feel like a big PokeChat family watching you grow up in front of our eyes. Okay, guys, so Chapter 4, An Unforgivable Crime, starts with Looker talks of Emma's strange nighttime outfit. Bolton rings in that an intruder broke in and damaged a painting in the museum. So already, right then and there, that's a pretty dark setup. So Emma's been, like, sneaking off somewhere. We know it's because of that part-time job she went for. She was talking to Esper and her Mimi, and she was like, the jobs that I'm seeing around don't require too much intelligence. They just want you to read and write, and anyone can do them, so I'm going to go for it. So we know Emma's doing something sketchy with that job, and no, she's not a prostitute, before anyone thinks that.
That is going in a completely different direction than Pokemon usually goes in.
Yes.
It should go in that direction.
I mean, PokeChat's full of a whole bunch of Rule 34, and I know that there's Looker Emma Rule 34 out there. Just because I thought of it, I know it exists, you know?
Oh, so, totally.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure that Emma's prostitution nighttime scandals exist too, you know?
I bet you if you went to Tumblr right now and started typing, like, Pokemon Emma, you'd see some fan art of that, I bet.
I'd rather not. I'll tell you that. There's a website called Rule34.com if anyone's really interested to see what's going on.
God.
But I'm not going to. Because you're going to find some disturbing stuff. And
I made the
genitalia where it doesn't belong, we'll say.
I made the mistake of typing in Absol in Tumblr, and that was like, whoa!
No, that's not a good idea. Don't ever type in Gardevoir. Don't type in Gardevoir anywhere but, like, Pokemon Maryland or, like, Serebii or something, because you're going to, like, come up with some bad results.
Yeah,
like, Google
really
image
are.
Research.
Like, I'm really curious.
No, don't.
He's, like, overly sexualized, and it's like, I hate to look for Mega Gardevoir now that exists, because it's probably gotten the same treatment.
I know, and this goes back to the same argument. What were they thinking when they made Pokemon X? I guess that Gardevoir wasn't really that sexualized, but people just kind of picked it up because it had, like, a dress. And they're like, oh, that's a dress and hair, let's make it a woman. And I was like, you could have done that to Pidgeotto, I suppose.
Wasn't there a male version of Gardevoir that's, like...
Yeah,
Gallade.
Gallade, that's right.
But there can also be male Gardevoirs, right?
That's true, yes.
So,
oh, really?
That's kind of creepy. Mm-hmm.
It's not female exclusive, so a male Mega Gardevoir is just, like, really weird. Apparently it's, like, some kind of drag queen.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. Cause it looks like it's wearing a dress, and, you know, all the more power to drag queens.
Yeah,
it's just
like
not
a
thing for Pokemon.
A wedding dress.
Yeah, totally. It's like a wedding dress, yeah. Yeah, it's not traditionally what society accepts for what a male would look like as a Pokemon, even, so... Just interesting that Pokemon wouldn't even bat an eyelash at that, I guess. I guess it's kind of progressive, right, in a way? All right, so Yeah, past the nighttime absences in Emma's strange work that she might or not be doing. The news bulletin happens again, which made me pretty happy. I liked those things. Those were fun. Remember when I was talking about that after, I think the Pokeball Factory and the news bulletin rang in for the first time, and I was like, oh, that wasn't overused. That was a good use of the news. That was cool. Of course, being inspiring journalists ourselves, that was pretty fun, wasn't it?
It was a blast.
Appreciated it a lot. You're told by a random lady at the front of the museum to go check out the third floor's graffiti. Wish that lady gave us a name, because she shows up again. It's pretty obnoxious that we're supposed to just remember her from sight. There, the museum director says that the graffiti may be good for business, because he's apparently really into vandalizing great works of art. Cool. So, yeah, you're going to be a great museum director one day. Upon leaving, you'll get another newscast saying that the Pokeball theft is in the city is on rise. Looker calls you to return to discuss what's going on. So this is a pretty cool part of this episode. Looker sets up a sting operation in an alleyway, and if you go to each alleyway, the trainers fight you in turn. They're always women, and they always turn into robots after you've defeated them. So before we say who, what, when, where, and why is that robot, what was your first impression, Ariel, of that robot thing? Like, what did you think of it?
Honestly, it reminds me of Super Sentai, you know, like Power Ranger kind of thing, because it kind of does look like that, so that was kind of what I was thinking, and as soon as I saw it, I knew exactly, well, who was behind the whole thing. Well, not who was behind it, but who was in it. I was just like, oh, come on, you're not going to do this, are you?
Oh, they did that.
They did that. They went there.
They went there. You went there. Yeah, Devin, how about you?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same. Once I saw it, I was like, huh, I'm wondering. And by this point, I had totally stopped reading, so I just assumed that it was Emma.
Well, you assumed it was Emma, and you were correct, because we'll find that out later, and I think that's a surprise to anyone. It doesn't get revealed to episode 5, but it's, like, stupid simple that it's Emma, you know?
You don't see her, and you're like, huh, where'd she go?
You're like, she's missing. Oh, and there's this mysterious robot. See, what it reminded me of was the Daleks from Doctor Who. I'm not a big fan of Doctor Who, and it still reminded me of those, so I'm assuming big fans of Doctor Who were really up on Essentia. They probably loved her, because she talks like, basically, like they say, exterminate, exterminating! She was like, eliminating, erasing, deleting! And then she just shouts everything. You know? That's what I got.
I know absolutely nothing about Doctor Who, so...
Oh. Well, I mean, if it's any consolation to you, I didn't know anything about the anime that you referenced, so...
Power Rangers?
No, you said... Didn't you say another anime, and then you said
Power Rangers? No, I just gave a... It's the genre that Power Ranger belongs to, Super Sentai.
Oh, I think I've heard of that once or twice. I thought that was the name of an anime.
Power Rangers is a Super Sentai show. There's others like Kamen Rider and like Go Sanger and other stuff like that. There's like a huge following in Japan that we don't have here.
What is the definition of that? Then it's like robots and like people turning into animals and that kind of business?
Well, I think it's mostly like a group of people and they have these like matching suits and they look like Power Rangers kind of thing. That's pretty much it.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I can see where you find that reference. And also, I think there's a obvious reference and direct reference to Tron. Whenever people try and act like they're just a normal robot that has a shiny face with glowy things on them, I'm like, all right, yeah, obviously you're relating back to the Tron movies. There's no way to get around that nowadays. Yeah, so Mimi comes up with Looker as you guys all meet up in the alleyway to stop this robot before it escapes and flies off to its next alleyway again. And Looker figures out that this robot's Emma. It's not directly revealed yet, but he's like, Emma, is that you? Looker is hurt because he gets punched in the stomach by Essentia very violently, and tells you he's going to the hospital because he has serious bodily injuries, but he's really going on a dangerous solo mission, so he's going to ignore those dangerous bodily injuries, and he's going to walk around bleeding on the inside, apparently. He'll be using the help of a man he's been tracking down for years, apparently. Ooh, I like this setup. That was cool. All right, yeah, so Looker seems to be dying, but he doesn't seem to care. And what's that, Ariel, to you?
Yeah, it's like, there are just these people who are, like, complete workaholics, and it's like, yeah, I'm not going to let things get it. I'm not going to let an injury get between me and work, so it's just that kind of thing, I believe. So, yeah.
And I get it. It makes sense. But I personally would take the leave of absence and just go in the hospital. But maybe he sees things that are, like, really heating up, so he really has to find out what's going on. Because by this point, we're supposed to understand that him and Emma have a really strong relationship, you know? Devin, would you have continued on, though?
I mean, he is a solid detective, so I'm sure he'd just be in that way because he can. Sure, I mean, he only got punched in the stomach. What'd you do, break his liver? Break his liver? Puncture? Rupture?
Yes, I'm thinking that his liver is very punctured by this point. That's my best guess.
Yeah.
Or he's an alcoholic, but who knows?
You just went somewhere that didn't belong. Okay, so... Yeah, Stinger Operation's all set and done. And on Chapter 5, it is titled A Fiery Woman and the Truth Unrevealed. Ooh. So this starts as Emma asks you to meet her at the office. She's shocked to find out that Looker is in the hospital but has to run off somewhere real quick because her job's about to start. A butler named Chalmers needs your help randomly, but he has you battle his Brevary first. Did I pronounce that right? Arceus Brevary?
What? Which Pokemon? Sorry, I'm half not paying attention here.
Well, she admits it. Brevary.
One more time?
Brevary.
Wait, what Pokemon are you trying to describe? Because that sounds so off that I can't even...
Brevary. Devin, how are you going to pronounce that? I don't know.
I want to say you're as close as we can get. But yeah, Ariel. Brevary. Brevary?
Braviary, okay.
But it looks like it doesn't even spell out the word brave in the beginning, which is confusing to me.
Braviary.
B-R-A-V, brave.
No, Braviary. It's an E. The silent E makes it a brave. Whatever. these pronunciations of these Pokemon
but
names drive me crazy.
Brave and aviation, so braviary.
Yeah, it needs like an E then. Braviary.
There's no E in aviation.
Because phonetically, that spells out Braviary. Braviary. Totally is.
It's Braviary.
I know. Oh, I know. I believe you. It's Braviary. I mean, you're Arceus. You created this, but... All right. So, yeah, this guy is fighting you with his Braviary. He reveals that he was a former Team Flareman and needs your help for his mistress to, like, get her something or something at the Hotel Regisme. At the top floor, which you had to just basically intuitively know that the president's suite was up there, Elite Four Malva battles you using her Pyroar. She turns out to be the mistress to this butler, Chalmers. She reveals that Emma is wearing something called an expansion suit, which sounds something complete opposite of what it actually does, because I'm sure it compresses. Cause it looks nice.
I think it's like expands your abilities. That's the kind of thing.
Yeah, me too. But when I think expansion suit, I think, like, I don't know, like, isn't there, like, the movie Nutty Professor where, like, he, like, has water put into his mouth and he just, like, blows up like a big balloon or, like, an Oompa Loompa will, like, give
or,
it
like,
to the blueberry gum in the Wonka
Willy. In the Harry Potter movie where he just, like, inflates.
Yeah, like Aunt Marge was wearing the expansion suit, right? But, Emma's wearing this expansion suit and she's being controlled remotely by Team Flare admin Dr. Zorostic, revealing that Team Flare did not die in the explosion. What? We kind of had a hint of that when we were talking about this in the last episode, and your rival tells you that if only Lysandre would improve, I really would appreciate if he would just become a better person. And I was like, he's dead, what are you talking about? And everyone just assumes that he's alive, so... That's why we were talking about Ariel and Devin. You guys missed this with Simon and I, but we were talking about how that basically all but confirms they have plans for Z. Because I know that we have Zygarde, but, like, come on, they just confirmed that their evil is still alive, and he's, like, didn't achieve his goals, so...
Was it, and, like, is Team Rocket the only one that have two games that they're in, essentially? Because they were in, like, Gold and Silver, right?
No, XY has the same team. Black and Black 2 have the same team.
Yeah.
What about, so I'm assuming that they'll be in the next one just to finish it off, because Team Rocket was finished, they were like half alive in Heart and Soul Silver, Gold and Silver. So I'm assuming
they're like trying to revive it without their leader, and it's not going so well.
Who was even their leader? Did they have a leader in Gen 2?
And was that late?
I want to say it's one of the old admins, but...
Yeah, me too. I think it was just like a random admin. I don't know if he even had a name.
It was like Proton or something like that. I don't remember. Don't quote me on that.
Arceus, you created them. How come you don't know?
Hold on, I think it's my...
You don't know your own children.
Wait, did Arceus...
I didn't create humans. I created Pokemon.
Okay, I was like, wait, what?
Oh, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Okay, guys, so Malva takes a really dark turn and says she wants you to make sure that the Team Flare admin, Zorostic, disappears, basically telling you that you should kill him, and calls it Honor Among Thieves, which doesn't make any sense, because that is not what that phrase means whatsoever. So she then reveals that she was part of Team Flare. Shocker, shocker, we would never have known that with you being... with you hanging out around the crowd that you are right now. We're told that we should prepare to face death at the Sandra Cafe. Death. We're going to die. Great. We're looking forward to that. Cool. So, Malva gives you the special floor access to where Zorostic is on the elevator. This is obviously right behind that bookcase that you went to go fight Lissandra the first time. And she asks for you to pass on a message to Looker to fulfill his part of the deal or else. She's very venomous. Like, everything she says is very, like, I'm going to kill you, you know? Like, I don't feel like she's a very happy woman. And Devin's bringing on a cat, so that's going to distract me a lot. Devin, show us your kitty.
That kitty. She's gotten so much bigger, though. Look at this thing. It's huge. It's a monster kitty now.
Oh, I hope she meows during this episode. That'd be really cute.
Oh. You talk? No? You hang out? You'll be annoying?
Oh, she's adorable.
No.
Wish I had a cat. Alright, so...
One day.
Regardless of cats, Devin, what is your opinion on Malva? Do you like her?
Who's that?
Well, you were really skipping through this text or not paying attention to Mitch because you were getting your cat. Malva is the Elite Four member who is also an ex-team
player. That's the dude, right? The bald dude?
No.
What?
No.
Who's the bald guy?
That's Zorostic, Dr. Zorostic.
Okay, because I remember seeing him during this thing when I was skipping through text. Like, oh, that's that guy. Okay. Who else is there?
Maybe it's Zorostic because I don't know. X is a tough letter.
Yeah. Oh, Malva, the Elite Four lady. Yeah, I remember her now.
Wow, right. That took you a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, who are these people? But, yeah, okay, I remember her. She, like, lets you into the base place. Into the secret elevator.
Yes. And the Devin's done making a fool of himself. Ariel, did you like Malva? Did you find her to be, like, a cool badass? Bad Pika!
Well... My friend and I have been throwing around a theory that Malva is going to be the leader of Team Flare in Pokemon Z.
That'd be cool.
That is, if Lissandra isn't alive. Because he could be underneath all that rubble, and he just comes out, and he's like, oh, now I'm like AZ, and I'm immortal kind of thing. And knowing Pokemon, they may just throw that Deus Ex Machina in there, so maybe...
You know, I don't know exactly why AZ is immortal in the first place and how that would physically be passed on or activated within Lissandra also. Is it just the fact that you're, like, pressing a button that destroys the world that makes you immortal? Is that supposed to be, like, the ultimate joke, the ultimate cosmic joke that you're going to kill everyone and be alive on your own or something?
Is it, like, some kind of, like, life force thing with that secret weapon? It's like, it steals life force from all the things and it's sort of, like, puts it in you, so you live forever kind of thing, so that's why AZ and Floette are immortal, and maybe Lissandra too.
Very interesting. But he didn't kill anyone, so, like, it didn't work. I just don't get why.
He did, like, take some life energy from the Pokemon that were, like, attached to the rocks on the Route 19, I believe it was, or whatever that route was on the way to Geo Center.
Didn't Tierno and Trevor say that they were hanging out down there? They're like, don't worry, we stopped it. And I was like, how? They're like, we protect the rocks, guys. We protected them. Don't you worry. He didn't get to steal that energy. I'm like, what did you do? Did you, like, hug them and say, no, they're mine? Oh my god, there's so many plot holes in that story. I just don't understand. It just needs to be more explained because it's just horrible right now. Ugh. It's hard to try and like find a story out of something that doesn't really have a story.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm. Alright, so Malva then bids you farewell as you go and do more spinning tiles, warp pads, and scientist battles. We've seen these many times before, well, at least one other time in the same dungeon. The gang fights you also, the gang of Lumio City. Last gang member brings you into a bookshelf room with stolen Pokeballs, and the bookshelves contain the specs of the expansion suit. You can add computer viruses to Pokeballs to override their system, and this makes them more powerful, which I said sounds a lot like XD and Gale of Darkness, because the whole concept behind those is that Shadow Pokemon are stronger, but they're not controllable, and you can steal Pokemon that are Shadow Pokemon with a Snagger, whatever that thing was called.
Snag Machine.
Snag Machine. So, Ariel, we're seeing the parallel there?
Well, yes, and there's something else I want to talk about from this part, where mm-hmm. I was just like, Oh, here's our proof that our protagonists are older than 10. Like, you see in one of the things that Emma is 16, and then in an earlier part she was, like, talking to you and Looker as adults. She's like, you two are adults, we hate you kind of thing. And it's like, so if she's 16 and we're supposedly adults, I guess that makes Caleb and Serena 18 plus.
Wait. Yeah, well, that's arguable. I agree. But when did we learn that she was 16? I missed that part, I guess.
Yeah, it was like in one of the books, it says the test subject is 16 years old. And I'm like,
oh. Oh, you're right. Yes, it did. Okay. Hey, wow, that's sleuthing, if anything. That's good, Ariel. I'm impressed. So, yeah, it seems like the protagonist could be a lot older. And have we seen Caleb or Serena in the anime yet, if they're going to show up at all?
Yeah, we've seen Serena, but can we really take the anime seriously when no. Ash has been 10 no. forever?
We don't take the manga seriously. It's I mean, whatever that looks like, I guess, will make more sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably.
Definitely. All right, yeah, so if you have some patience and you're not like Devin, you will reach all of Zerosik's trials of Emma when she's wearing the suit, and it sounds both disturbing yet very fatherly, the things that he was doing to her to make her test through all these. Apparently she doesn't have her memory when she's in the suit very conveniently because he puts her in like a comatose situation. Don't know why he doesn't just have a robot suit that does this all itself. Why does he need to insert human inside of it? It's not RoboCop, you know? But apparently he needs a living, breathing thing inside of it to physically be that flesh in between the robot. I don't know what's going on with that. That doesn't make sense to me either. Put a dummy in there and it'll fill up that space that the robot apparently needs. The gang
might be something having to do with like the brainwaves of a human kind of thing, so.
Well, yeah, maybe he just uses the brainwaves of a human to like move the muscles and bones and stuff of the human and have them talk. That makes more sense. The gang member leaves and is just like, hey, see ya. And Zerostic introduces Essentia to battle you. Ooh, now this was cool. Every time you battle her, she gains a better team and raises the virus potency. She just always had a... I think she had the same teams that she had when you were battling her in the alleyway, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. And they were pretty tough. They were fairly tough. Emma is unconscious during this whole thing, but Looker shows up and pleads to ask Zerostic to stop this horribleness. So Zerostic and Looker talk about how Emma was unconscious during all the crimes that she committed, and Looker is just like, I don't care, you're still going to be arrested. So eventually after a couple battles with Emma, and she's raising the virus potency, and Looker's healing you between battles, which is really nice. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, Looker and...
These battles are tough. It's like, if you do this like right after you beat the game, it's like these level 60 Pokemon, it's like... This is, like, almost harder than the week four. It's like, these levels are pretty darn high.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, if you're not using EXP all, this would be pretty tough. And in the end, it turns out that apparently Zerosik had some kind of fatherly affection toward Emma because he releases her from his grasp. And Looker is like, I'm going to arrest you, Zerosik, and everyone else, Zerosik. everyone else leaves, but Looker and Zarasek, and Looker's just like, hey, why don't you, like, hang around and eat dinner with us, because that's what we're doing tonight, and I know you're bad, but, like, I think you're kind of hungry. All right, Devin, where's the logic in that business?
It just felt like a cop-out. It's like, oh, well, you're fine, actually. We'll just keep... You're not arrested. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he does arrest them later, so it's like...
Does he? I didn't know.
Oh! You probably didn't play the final chapter, to tell you the truth. I could see you skipping past that.
I finished everything.
Oh, see, it was all story. Why'd you even bother playing it if you were just going to skip through the text?
Because I thought it'd be neat, and then it wasn't. And then I knew I had to do it for this. And I was like, eh, I guess I'll kind of look at it.
Oh, you crack me up. Ariel, were you upset by how this ended, basically, with Zoroastic kind of buddying up with the third looker?
Yeah, I was like, this guy just essentially tried to kill you, and now you're just like, oh, let's go have supper. And it's like, this guy also was being a bit of a jerk during the whole Team Flare thing that was going on in the main game, and it's like,
he pushed
why
the button.
Is
he
anybody
pushed the
still
button.
Trusting this
guy? He tried to kill you twice.
He tried to, like, destroy the world by pushing the button to destroy the world. So why are we being nice to him? Come on, Looker. Put two and two together. All right, so that is the end of the fifth chapter. The sixth is titled Final Chapter. Here's looking at you, kid. This starts when Emma calls you saying that she has wonderful news. You show
the
up
reference.
At the... What's the reference saying?
Well, here's looking at you, kid. Yeah, that's a reference to some old movie, I think. It's... I think it's Gone with the Wind. Don't quote me on that. Maybe it's Casablanca. I always get the two mixed up.
It might be something like that, and it sounds like something like that, so I'll give it to you, Ariel. Yeah, so this whole chapter is going to basically be like, oh, here's Emma's future, and she tells you that Looker is getting out of the hospital, which is really exciting because apparently he's been in there for a while. That's news to us because he told us that he wasn't going to be in the hospital, so we're all just like, eh? Mimi comes in carrying a letter in which Looker admits that he is part of the international police and that he has feigned illness to keep us out of harm's way in the whole time. So he's just like, oh, I'm in the hospital, but he's not. But he actually wasn't feigning illness because he was, like, punched in the stomach by a robot that probably would have killed him if he didn't take care of it. He gives you the name of Looker, and it's just basically like, your name is Looker now. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's Mitch. And Emma runs off crying, looking for him. A gang member runs out and tells you to go to the museum to look for Looker. Really convenient that gang member came up. That's the Deus Ex Machina, if I've ever seen one. After talking to the museum director at the top floor, the same random lady at the entrance that didn't get a name, but I'm really angry that she didn't, tells you that before Looker ran out and he was really sad upon leaving the building, is to the conclusion where Emma calls and tells you to meet the two men at Lysandra Cafe. Zoroastic gives her the suit to fight crime as the new city's head detective and his well-trained Pokemon. That was pretty nice of him. It ends as we're all teased that this is just the beginning for Emma and Mimi. And then you can battle Emma for whenever for fun. I battled her once. Don't know if it's like a reset every day kind of deal, but
yeah,
Emma,
it is.
To do it once.
You can just fight her once per day whenever at that certain time of the day.
Right.
I've done it multiple times, though.
So, and I think my favorite part of this whole story, oddly enough, was the suit. I think that it looked really cool. I really liked it. And I think that it, like, added a nice drama. And it almost was, like, feelsy, you know? Because it was just like, oh, that feels, like, very robotic and really scary to be wearing, like, a suit that takes over your body. So, Ariel, overall thoughts on the Looker saga?
Well, yeah, I said that I liked it, and I was like, I really like how Pokemon finally gave us a kind of grimdark story, and it's like, yes, this is what we want. We, the people who grew up with Pokemon, are adults now. We will take this grimdark adult sort of noir stuff, and we'll like it because we're adults. We can take this stuff. We're not the little kids who need to have their hands held all the time, and it's like, now we get, like, we can't even name our Pokemon bad words anymore, because there's, like, little kids, and they'll be getting online, and you don't want to, like, trade your Magikarp name, like, I'm
Pika.
A Pika, yes. And, like, yes, I was going to say Pika.
All right, like, Devin, I think I know your overall thoughts on this episode. But did you get any insights on what
was happening? Through it. It was, I mean, it was predictable, of course, because you kind of knew, you had a feeling it was going to be Emma. But I did really enjoy the whole adult themes like Ariella talked about. Even if I skipped through all the main episodes, it was still, because, I mean, I read the beginning and whatnot. So I do enjoy that they brought a little more of an adult theme into it. It was sadly a little predictable, but, I mean, it is what it is. It's Pokemon. I don't expect some huge story element and big twist at the end, like, oh, I did not know it would be her. Which would be cool. I would really enjoy that.
It's not that kind of RPG, so yeah. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I don't expect it.
Cat?
Wait, what? No. What, with the cat?
The cat's, like, hanging out behind my computer.
Oh. You know? Oh, that's kind of funny. That's cute. All right, guys, so... now I think that as our final XY Live episode, this is just as good of a time as any to go through and give our general reviews of the game. So we're going to go through and talk about the major elements of what made Pokemon XY, because now we're done with it. So let's just start off with talking about just the gameplay. That doesn't include the new Pokemon yet, because we'll talk about that. But we're talking about, let's just say everything from how Paralyze doesn't affect... the grass types or pattern moves don't affect grass types, to rollerblades allowing you to, float around and do these fun little tricky moves. That's everything from overworlds to in-battle mechanics. All right, so, Devin, let's get your thoughts to start off with on overworld and in-battle mechanics for gameplay.
I enjoyed it. It felt like more of the same, of course, but the addition of those little things of, like, you can't use stun spore on a grass type, it was really, really nice, and kind of like a refreshing thing, because it kind of threw, even though it's a little thing, it still made you think a little bit more than, like, oh, I'm just going to stun spore you, oh, wait, I can't. Mm-hmm. I got to figure it out. Yeah, and I enjoyed that. That was nice.
Cool, yeah, and I'll give my own thoughts, too, that I thought it was interesting that they added in things like rollerblades and the Lapras sprite for when we were surfing. They put little touches in that were just, like, cute things. They didn't really do too much. I found it annoying how I couldn't turn off rollerblades, though, when I was walking around. I wanted to, like, walk in the grass and not be slowed down, but use the analog stick, and I couldn't. I say stick, it's a nub. And... I don't know, I didn't really have too many complaints for overworld stuff, but in-game, I think I was most annoyed by those new mechanics, because I think it made the electric type especially too OU. It just, like, became too much for me, because, like, I can't paralyze it, I can't use anything but ground-type moves against it to super affect it, and then there's Emolga's out there that I really can't kill, because my pavilion's just not going to beat it in a sky battle, because I can't paralyze it, so I'm just going to have to lose to Emolga's all day long. I think there you go, Emolga's are Mitch's biggest complaints about... in battle and the overworld stuff. So Ariel,
except they're not even new Pokemon. That's the thing.
So. I know. No, yeah. It made it even worse for that paralyzed bit. So Ariel, in game and overworlds, what is your opinion?
Well, I thought that the game definitely, for its first foray into 3D on a handheld, I thought it was a really solid entry, and I liked all the little things they did to bring the games into the 21st century, and just, like, yeah, this is the future of Pokemon, and I like where this is going. I got thrown off by the addition of the fairy type at first, especially with Pokemon like Snubbull and Togepi being retyped to fairy, and it's like, I want to use Brick Break, and it's like, it's not very effective. I'm like, oh, that's right, you have to use steel and poison type moves on them now, and it's like, I got used to that pretty quickly though. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think fairy type was a really big game changer, because it just changed around what other types do. It didn't really, like, I mean, it slayed dragons, yeah, but I think that it affected more the types that it was weak or super effective to other than dragon. No, that didn't make sense. Okay, so I'm going to take that all back and just say, yes, it changed a lot in the type matchups. And no one talked about the mega evolutions yet. Without talking about the Pokemon, because I want to get to that section yet. That talking about the Pokemon that got them or didn't, we'll talk about that too. Let's just talk in general of Mega Evolutions. So, Ariel, I know when I was battling you that I was really upset that you'd use a Mega Evolution, and Devin too. And I was like, no, it makes them, even if we're leveling at a level of 50, it's going to make them like level 70. They're going to be obnoxiously overpowered over any other level 50 Pokemon. So, Ariel, we'll start off with you for this time. So, tell us your argument for or against using Mega Evolutions in meta.
Well, I disagree with what you say about, like, it brings your Pokemon up to a whole new level, like it's level 70, because they are countered. They you really can beat them. I mean, I've taken out my fair share of Mega Mewtwo's with just a Sableye, so...
That's Sableye. He has no weaknesses. That thing is really...
It has weakness now. It has weakness now. It's
yeah,
not weak to Fairy.
Yeah, you're right.
So no more Wonder Eye or no more Wonder Tomb, so...
Really sad. Devin, how about you? Do you think it does anything to meta that you don't like?
I understand what you mean by they seem overly powerful, but you can, like, also take them out if you kind of, like, strategize around it. And I just didn't know that we weren't using Megas for that thing, too, either.
Yeah.
So.
I wanted to show off my shiny Mega Charizard X, but you said no Megas, so I'm like, oh. But
does it?
Mega Charizard X is awesome shiny.
Okay, so it does look different when it's Mega if it is shiny?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
shiny
white,
Mega
like
Charizard X is sort of this dark Mega teal color, so it's, like, really cool.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, and Ariel, you're all about the shinies, and this is as good a time as any to talk about how... I mean, still talking about overworld and in battle things, I guess. Shiny encounters, and I think the craze of everyone playing games to find as many shinies as they can. I've never seen the internet gather together and try and find as many shinies. And everyone's doing the Masuda method. We talked about that before. That means when you have two Pokemon of two different countries' origins, so they have to be caught in like, Japan or America, and they can breed and have a larger chance of getting a shiny. That's another way of doing it. There's also something called chaining that I'd love for you to explain more in depth, Ariel, because I don't know of it too much. I haven't like taken the time to figure it out. So what's up with chaining, and why were you doing it to get a shiny Crawdaunt?
Well, that's two different things. There's chaining, and then there's fish chaining, and like, the PokéRadar existed in Generation 4, and I'm terrible at it, so I can explain how it works, and I've gotten like up to a 30 chain before, but I've never found a shiny using that method. And then shiny chain fishing, that's completely different. You just like stand in one spot, and you just keep throwing out your line, and when you hook successive Pokemon, your chance of getting a shiny increases. So it's like, and to even help even more, you put a Pokemon that has the ability Suction Cups, and you will hook a Pokemon like 90% of the time. Some sites say 100%, and I'm like, no, it's not 100%. I've just randomly lost a Pokemon just. I was doing the whole thing. I did everything right. I did not move in the cell. Nothing's biting. I'm like, but I have Suction Cups. So it's like 90% or something. 95%.
Who has Suction Cup? What Pokemon? Is it Octillery?
Yeah, I was using Octillery.
Yeah. Sweet. Devin, are you into the shiny craze, or do you have any?
The only shiny I've ever caught was a Swinub in Soul Silver. Other than that, I don't really care much for shinies. They look cool, and I respect people that go out of their way to get them, but I just have no... I'd rather, like, build up, like, a Pokemon just with whatever moves I like, and then just move on. That's kind of, like, what I enjoy doing with Pokemon after I'm done. It's like, okay, I'll grab a Weezing, or I'll grab a Koffing originally, but evolve it to Weezing, and, like, give it all sorts of moves, like, that I would enjoy. But I'm not, like, a EV trainer either. I'm not going to sit there with him and build him up even more, so... I enjoy, like, finding random Pokemon that people don't even like think about and just kind of like, oh, let's see what I would do with him if I had the chance. That's what I like to do.
Very good. I like that. And that's when I'd like to go into my next mini segment of in-game gameplay with EV training and super training. All right, so now that we can visibly see where our EVs are and we can specifically train whatever ones we want by popping balloons or playing mini games, Devin, did you play around with the super training to have your Pokemon have stronger EVs? And if you did that, did you also enjoy the benefits where they would fight off things like Toxic and they'd miss moves because they'd love you so much and stuff? Like, did you play around with that, Devin?
So I played around with the Pokemon on me more than I played around with super training. And the Pokemon on me is incredibly beneficial because, like you said, you can get critical hits. They'll hold on like with one HP without even having that focus sash. And what I liked with the Pokemon on me is that the hearts never went away. So you could get one up full hearts, and it wouldn't ever be depleted. So, and it made it a little bit nicer. But of course, once I got up to full hearts, I never really went back to Pokemon on me for that Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me to like rely on that almost, because I had like an A team and a B team. And my A team, I had all hearts, but then like with the B team, I was expecting it. But my Lapras was like, doop doop doo, and I was like, oh, it's because I never Pokemon a Mead with you. Okay, that makes sense. But as far as super training, I think I almost was like too late to the party for that, because I would like super train like my Gengar, and then it would be like, nope, he's already got full EV. And I was like, oh, okay, well, never mind. And then I would just move on, and by that time I already had, like, I tried it with Alakazam too, and he was already too high. I was like, whatever.
So basically we're saying, I can go back. Right, basically what we're saying is that you need to start with a level 1 of any Pokemon that you want to super train to IV out, because once you do that, then you're set. And Ariel, can you attest to that?
Well, I originally started using super training, like, I spent hours and hours, like, training a Pokemon at one point, and then, like, eventually I found out that it's much easier and much faster to do it with hordes, so it's like, I have the Pokerus, so I'm able to, I just put the virus on one of my Pokemon, I just put, like, a power wager, or a power lens, or whatever thing. It's like, you equip that to your Pokemon, you have the Pokerus, and you just go out to a horde, and what do you know, you get 50 EVs for that stat, and it's like, you're maxed out in 6 battles.
Wow, yeah. Well, where are you getting all that honey to do those hordes? Because horde battles
Sweet
are a new
scent.
Thing.
I have a Carnivine, and it's using Sweet Scent.
Sweet, awesome. Oh, yeah, so let's talk about hordes then, guys. Ariel, you gave a really good point as to why they're beneficial. Devin, did you like how moves like Surf or Earthquake or whatever would spread their power out amongst all those Pokemon? Is that too weak for you? Did you need a stronger move?
No, I like that one attack can attack multiple. I always just ran into hordes and never had that ability, like that luxury almost, because I'd have someone that doesn't have something that will attack all four of them. So I would just run away, because hordes are so annoying to run into, like, a bunch of baby mimes. Like, what? I don't want to deal with you guys. Like, baby, I just want to get through this cave. What are they called? Mime Juniors?
Mime Junior.
Like, I don't want to deal with you. I don't want to individually knock you out for 10 XP and then catch the one I'm missing. I'm like, no. I'll just breed the one I already have.
Totally. I'm with you. All right, now, Ariel, did you have any other benefits for like, finding shinies or something with the hordes?
Well, yes. It's not the most reliable version, but I have found a shiny through hunting hordes, so it's like, each Pokemon in a horde has that one in whatever chance to be a shiny, so essentially, by horde hunting, you cut down your chance of finding a shiny. Well, you increase your chance of finding a shiny by 5 times, so one for each one. But I guess you could sort of argue it's not really like that, where it's like, it's seeing as it's 1 in 8,000 whatever for each of them, it's not like 1 in whatever to get one of them, but it's like, no, it's like 5 in 8,000 now, so.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit handier to find shinies. All right, guys, so I want to move on to stuff of the story, because there's a lot that we had thrown at us for story. As much as they said they weren't going to concentrate in story on XY, I still think they did. And we were talking briefly today also about how we were displeased with the Team Flare storyline and where it went, and we were expecting Z. Is there anything with the rivals that you found particularly interesting, Ariel?
Well, there's the whole friendship thing that they kind of also did in Black and White, but they, like, took it a step farther with you having four friends now, and it's like, yeah, there were some odd moments with your buddies, but, like...
Yeah, like the fireworks, like, now we have a special moment together. I'll never forget. That's my really creepy voice. Do you guys like it?
Yeah, that was nice.
I'll whip it out when it's really necessary. That's what she said. Devin, what do you think about these rivals calling you Big D?
Or Little D, like they wanted to?
Yeah.
I liked it. It seemed like it almost dropped off at the end. Like, you battled her one time before the Elite Four, and then it was like, oh, you can just meet me in this village, and we can battle, and that's it. Like, and same with Tierno, you never see if he becomes, like, a dancing expert. He just kind of alludes to it.
I must know!
Yeah, like, I gotta know. Or, like, what's the little kid's name? Is it Trevor?
Trevor.
Yeah, like, does he ever... What's his Pokedex at? Like, I wish it would keep updating slowly. I don't know.
That's what X2 and Y2 are going to be for. Not Z. I'm saying X2 and Y2.
You mean Z. Z, Z, Z.
Because I feel like in Z would it make sense to have a whole new storyline with the evil team. Usually that only happens in a sequel, like Black 2, Y 2. And,
Pokemon Square.
Z can be a sequel, so...
Z can be a sequel, but that wouldn't follow tradition. That's why I feel like they're going to just go and straight up make it a X2-Y2 to market it that way, because by that effect, Z and X2 could be the same exact thing, but at the end of the day, it's going to make more sense to make it sound like it's a sequel as opposed to another version. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's why I'm thinking X2-Y2 would make more sense. Okay, so, yeah, there's not too much going on with the story other than the Team Flair and Friends bit. It sounded like I said, I for some reason my brain went to Nesbit, and I was thinking of the thing that Buzz Lightyear dresses up as.
Yeah.
My brain goes weird places. Friends bit, Nesbit.
Oh, my. You want to have team?
So the only other story bit I wanted to talk about was I think they were done with the reveal of the Elite Four champion. That was just dumb. But the budding relationship and the very obvious relationship between your mother and the professor, that, like, legitimately happened in this game, because she was just like, he has such nice handwriting, and she's always talking to him, and it's more than Professor Oak and Ash's mom. It's a little bit more. So, are you sailing the ship? Are you still shipping it? Is your ship sailing, or is it sunk?
Oh, and he like gives you a note to give to your mom so you leave town. Like, give this to your mom, and now leave town, and now she's mine.
Yeah, yeah,
so it's like letting her know that your son's going to be out of town so they can get together.
Exactly.
Oh, that's funny. What are you saying,
and
Ariane?
And it's like, your protagonist is supposedly 18 or something now, so it's like, oh, deliver this to your mom, so you go out of town and... you're finally out of her hair, so I can get into it, kind of thing.
Oh, no! Wow! Out of her hair, so I can get into it. Arceus Spiro for everyone. All right.
You come back.
So, that's story, guys. Let's talk about the final segment of our review of Pokemon XY. Ariel's just hiding her head in shame. We went through gameplay, we went through story. Now, let's talk about the new Pokemon in characters. We can talk about the NPCs, too. They're not interesting, though. All right, so I want everyone to pick their top three new favorite Pokemon of Gen 6 and give us an example of why. No, I did this on purpose. I totally did. I wanted to make it so that it was more impromptu and you didn't overthink it. All right, so to calm your guys' nerves a little bit more, I'll do my own. I was a big fan of Hawlucha. I think that was a pretty cool Pokemon because it had... Hawlucha. See, that was debatable.
Hawlucha.
It's Hawlucha because it's based on Lucha Libre, so...
Yeah, I
Lucha?
Guess you're right. Maybe.
Devin, don't argue with Arceus. You're not going to win.
Oh!
Okay, so I was a big fan of that, and I was also a pretty big fan of Chestnut. I thought that its spiky shield ability attack was pretty cool, as I should have
used
it.
And you didn't even have it on your Chestnut?
No, I didn't. I should have used it, though. I really, quite frankly, should have.
Yes.
And, then lastly, if I absolutely had to pick another one just because it's what I gave the rule of, I'd probably say that Rock Fairy guy in...
Charming?
Yeah, Carbink. He was just cool looking. I liked just the, what he had going on. I didn't use him or anything, but I just liked his character design the most. So those are my top, those are my top three Gen 6s. Sneezing Devin, what are your top three?
Oh, man. So I'm going to go with, like, I really like the way Greninja looks in general. Even just, like, the whole tongue scarf thing was cool. And his line was cool. Froakie looked cool. Frogadier looked really cool. I mean, Greninja, it was a nice, like, finish to that set.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how they worked the whole Age of Slash, like, how he had the defensive mode, and then he had attacking mode, which would, like...
Oh, good pick.
Yeah, which were lowered. Like, you got to... You really got to choose what you're going to use in order to, like, especially if you're in, like, competitive battling. And as for, like, a third...
A third's the hardest.
I'm going to go with Tyrantrum, just because it's a
good
T-Rex.
Pick. You pick really good picks.
He looks awesome.
Yeah, that's good. I like your picks. All right, Arielle, give us Arceus' top three picks of the three Pokemon that she created for Gen 6.
My friend says Goomy, Sligoo, and Goodra, but I'd say no, that's too predictable.
That is very predictable.
No, but I do love Goomy. Goomy is, like, the cutest dragon ever, so it's like, I gotta go with Goomy. Goomy!
And then you like, two?
I gotta agree with Devin. Aegislash and Greninja. Those two I've just been like, yeah, it's like, I totally regret not starting with Froakie now, even though I do have a competitive Greninja, so it's like, yeah.
It would have been nice to start off with that, like, play through the whole game with Greninja, right?
Yeah, and, like, the hidden ability is beyond broken, so
what's
it's
that?
Like, the hidden ability is essentially reverse color change. It's like, you use an attack, and your type becomes that attack's type. So it's like, you use Surf, and you become a Water type. You use Ice Beam, and you become an Ice type.
You use Dark type, you become full Dark type. Yeah, it's really cool.
So you lose your dual typing, and you just go with one type.
Yeah.
Greninja is what dual typing already? I already forgot.
Water Dark.
Water Dark. Oh, that's a good typing. I like that.
It's really not. It has a lot of weaknesses because adding on the dark type, it doesn't really give it any resistances to types that it already was weak to. It just gives it weaknesses. So
yeah, well, it gives it weaknesses, but it gives it all those brand new stabs from.
But you get stab on everything with Protean. You get stab on Psychic. You get stab on Grabs. You get stab on Water.
Depending on what ability you're
depending
using.
Depending on what type you use.
Yeah, yeah,
like, you change your type, and then you get stab on that type. So it's really a broken ability.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty broken. I'll agree on that. Yeah, Greninja is definitely seeing top tier right now. I think that Pokemon, along with Aegislash, are the top non-legendary, non-pseudo, if there is a pseudo in this gen.
Goodra,
yeah. So I should have banned you from using that thing in our battle, Aria. All right, guys. So then I want you to talk about just, we'll do just one of your least favorite Pokemon in this gen. And once again, I'll put myself on the line. I'll do it myself first. My least favorite is, this is pretty easy. It's the cotton candy guy, Swirlix. Not a big fan of that thing. Not because it's cotton candy. Maybe it is. I just don't take it seriously. I look at that thing, I'm like, it's just a little fluff ball. I'm gonna like
a Slurpuff.
Yeah. Or whatever. It was pretty obnoxious. So Devin, what's yours?
I'm gonna go with the opposite, which is the perfume one. I just was not a fan of the whole its evolution with its legs sticking out. I was like, this Pokemon just isn't doing it for me. I like going a lot of, like, appearance-wise, because I'll never use them, but I thought Swirlix was adorable. It just looks awesome.
It is adorable. It's like this little dog with its tongue. You got, like,
I just call it, like, Skrillex, just because Swirlix, Skrillex. I'm like, yep, Skrillex.
You're funny. Ariel, what's your least favorite?
Good question. Give me 2 seconds as I look through the list again.
No. Arceus, you made these. You should know them.
Sorry. Honestly, I guess I'd have to say Binnacle, because it just looks so ridiculous. I mean, it's a particle that's giving you this, like, face, and it's like...
Yeah, it's like, Looks just unpleasant.
And I'm just like, this thing looks ridiculous, and it's like, it just gives you this dirty look, and it's like, it, evolution isn't much better. It's like literally seven hands growing out of two rocks, and it's like, why does this thing exist? I know it's a barnacle, but still, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah. I'd have to agree. So, all right, guys. Go ahead, Devin.
What do you guys think of the Legendaries? I just want to give that out real quick.
Good point.
As far as like appearance or usability.
First of all, I don't use Uber, so.
Good girl. Good Arceus. Arceus did not use yourself.
You're sending out my imposter Ditto on your Xerneas, though, and then kicking your butt with your own Pokemon. I have no reservation with that.
No, you do not. I know you don't after my battle with you.
Is imposter a hidden move? Is that a hidden
move? It's an ability. Move? It's essentially you transform as soon as you.
Yeah, I knew what it did. I didn't know if it was a hidden one, though.
It is the hidden one, yeah.
Okay.
You were saying hidden move, not hidden ability. That's why she got confused.
Whatever.
You can't confuse Arceus. You put an input, she gets that output. That's it.
What did you think of the legendaries? What did you think of the legendaries?
All right, I was really impressed with the designs of both Yveltal and Xerneas, but I thought that their moves weren't that good. I wasn't a big fan of any of the moves that either of them had. Moonblast is the bane of my existence, and I think it's just a cheap fairy-type move that just does too much damage.
Wing Blast, fairy-type? First of all, it's Oblivion Wing and it's Dark-type. No,
Moonblast. Moonblast Arceus.
Oh, Moonblast. That's not even exclusive.
Calm your godly ways.
I thought it was exclusive to Xerneas.
No, I know. It was just what Samana was used against me when she was using it. And I was like, and then there's Arceus, I needed to hear your pronunciation of this. I call it Zygarde.
Zygarde?
There you go.
I always called it Zygarde, too.
I call it Zygarde because there's two G's. And I'm like, Zygarde.
There's one G in it.
Oh, maybe I just imagined the other one then. so that guy looks like this big snake thing, and somewhat reminiscent of Rayquaza, I suppose, if you wanted to go with the whole, they're both environmentally interested, and they're both dragon-y kind of...
Looks like a slug.
Things. Yeah, it's like this weird slug. I don't know.
Apparently based on Norse mythology, the snake that wraps around the world named Jormungandr, so... Mm.
Interesting.
History class with...
Arceus.
More like mythology class, but yeah.
Whatever.
It's Arceus, Devin. Don't argue.
I'm arguing.
Well, you're going to lose, so.
All right. You two, let's pull you guys apart. All right, guys. So now we have all that we could possibly say about the generalizations about X and Y. Let's give our final number review out of 10 for Pokemon X and Y. All right. I am going to go last because I feel like I'm going to influence you guys if I go first. And Devin, you'll be influenced by both of us, so you're going to go first.
I'm going to choose...
Think carefully. Solid, this is forever.
Solid 8.
8? Yeah. All right. Do you want to give explanation for why you gave it an 8, or are you just going to throw it out there?
The storyline was decent. It was very welcoming to me, especially because I have only played Gen 1 and 2, so I felt comfortable, which I enjoyed. The new Pokemon, they weren't overly thrown at you, which I heard that didn't they kind of do that in Black and White?
Yeah, they kind of did.
Okay, and like they weren't overly thrown at you, so I was like, okay, cool. They can slowly be intertwined. Lumio City blows. I cannot stand that place. What else was there that I could... No, Mega Evolutions are cool. I mean, I didn't expect to use it as much as I do in the game, which I don't... I try not to use it as much, but it was decent. It was pretty cool. Some of the designs are neat. But yeah, I think like an 8 would be
okay. For your reasons, I see your 8. Alright, Arceus, give us your rating of your game.
I guess I want to say... 8.75.
And 8.75. Very specific.
Just say 9. We're rounding.
No, I don't feel like it's 9. I just feel like it's not quite 8.5 either. So 8.75.
All right. So why are you giving it that in two sentences?
Well, it was really immersive, but there really is a lack of post-game content. It's like, you literally have three legendaries to catch in the whole game. So, you've got Mewtwo, you've got Zygarde, and you've got Xerneas or Yveltal. That's it. And it's like, I want to catch more legendaries. Oh, there's Zapdos, too. So. But yeah, it's like literally three in the post-game. That's not even including the version legendary, which you catch during the actual game. It's like, you literally have four legendary Pokemon. So,
all right, you're way over your two senses, Arceus. You've reached it. So legendary.
I'm explaining now.
That's all you get. Oh, two senses. That's it. All right. So I'll give my rating, guys. Hope you're ready. This is the host of PokeChat. His rating of Pokemon
7.
X and Y. 6. I give it a 9.5. Highest of all of us. I give it a 9.5 because I was impressed with the advances they made with post game. To tell you the truth, I thought Looker really bumped it up a little bit more for me. I also really enjoyed the introduction of the fairy typing because it did change up things enough to make it more interesting. And lastly, I thought that the overworld mechanics, such as rollerblading or something to that effect, really made it more interesting. So overall, I am very pleased with Pokemon X and Y, and I say that it's right below Soul Silver for me for the best games. All right, guys, so I'm glad we got all of our opinions in, and that's all we're going to do for episode 43 of PokeChat. And this is our last live episode, so I hope you enjoyed it. But soon enough, we'll be back with our anime recaps. Enjoy. We'll be doing our manga recaps. My mom will enjoy them. She loves them. All right, guys, so thanks for tuning in to our XY Live playthrough. We enjoyed doing it with you, and we will catch you guys very soon. And keep on Pika-ing. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.